This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome to Open for Business, the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. And leading up to International Women's Day tomorrow, I can't think of anyone else to have really on the show today that would be better than Regina Rahim, founder of fintech startup Wahine Capital. And that's because of the mission underlying this business. After almost three decades in the corporate world, and specifically capital markets and asset management, Regina left her job as the managing director of Nomura Asset Management Malaysia and founded Wahine Capital during the COVID-19 lockdowns. The vision: to empower women through financial knowledge and collaborative platforms, which aims to revolutionize women's roles in the economy. Again, perfect lineup for tomorrow. With the official launch of their first product, W Vault, in May 2023, Regina and her co-founder hope it will help women take ownership of their finances and have greater peace of mind when encouraging significant life changes. Today on Open for Business, we will explore Regina's flight from corporate life, the mission behind Wahine Capital and future products in the work, of course, and how she plans to support women while building a profitable business. Regina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Well, I'm so happy to be here. A bit nervous, actually.
No worries. Give it a few minutes, you'll be fine. You know, I find that when founders talk about what they're building, all the nerves kind of leave the studio. And if it's any benefit, I'm always nervous before I hit the mic on. So okay. It's part and parcel of being on air, right? Because it matters. Yes. Now, before Wahine, as I mentioned, Regina, you spent 15 years at Nomura Asset Management Malaysia. You're part of the founding team. So you've got a bit of experience building something. And before that, you spent around nine years with CIMB Principal Asset Management. So capital markets has been a key theme of your career, really, over the last almost three decades. Although you did study law at University of Kent, yes. If I have that correct.
Yes.
Why leave such a lucrative career and enter the volatile world of entrepreneurship?
Well, I think you probably think I'm mad, but before the pandemic, I was actually planning for my retirement, thinking, okay, what do I do post-retirement? Because thinking, okay, up to 60, that's good. What do I do next? What am I good at? And what do I like to do? So it was basically coaching and mentoring were the key things that I really like to do, because it was basically, I always believe in the idea of paying it forward, right? Of helping people. So that was the key trajectory that I was looking for, except that then COVID happened and then my sister passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
In October 2020. And then I realized that why help one person at a time when I could actually help a lot more people? And back in 2018, going back again, I had attended a program at Singularity University in Silicon Valley. And one of the key things that really resonated with me was, how do you help a billion people, right, using technology? So I guess with, you know, my sister passing away in, it wasn't COVID, so she was sick for most of her life. So that was basically the trigger. Then I thought, hey, I could do a lot more. So yes, this is my retirement thing.
Regina, I think it's fair to say, I think that's the first time I've heard someone talk about their entrepreneurship journey being the retirement plan.
Yeah.
So that's a refreshing take on it, but I'm sure the transition has been an interesting one for you as well. Yes, you were part of building Nomura Asset Management when you first came here, but this is entirely, you know, in your hands building Wahine. Talk to us about that transition from corporate over to startup founder.
Well, I was really a headless chicken, you know, post Nomura. It was really, you know, trying to figure out, like, how do I actually bring this to life? I knew in my head what it was looking like, well, sort of. And, you know, I was trying to talk to developers and they were going like, sorry, I don't understand. Well, what does this mean? You know, you need to really break it down. And I'm like, how do you break it down, right? So in corporate life, I always had people around me who could understand what I was talking about. They're, you know, people who were helping me talk, to the tech people and stuff like that. But here it was a completely different situation, trying to also figure out. And when people say, the developers were going, what language do you want? And I'm like, English, la, hello. You know, so things like that. So I owe a particular intern, a university student at that point, a lot, because basically he sat down with me, talked through it with me, and we basically drew lots of pictures. Oh. And that piece of paper there with the pictures was then passed around to a few developers who then thought, oh, okay, I can understand. There's a bit more. Okay, I'll see what I can do. And that's how it started, like, in that sense.
Do you still have those drawings somewhere?
Yes, I also have a piece, a white, the mahjong paper where I had said, my big, hairy, audacious goal is to actually set up a social enterprise for women, to empower women financially. That was back when I did a NLP course. So I've got that in my home office.
Wonderful,
yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I hope you frame them up and put them on the wall. And that's the starting moment,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
And that idea of getting people around you who can complement what you're doing, because building a startup can be a very lonely journey, especially as a founder, especially in the early days.
Yeah.
Now, your particular focus with women empowerment through financial empowerment is specific, but also very powerful. Why is this the focus of your entrepreneurial journey?
Well, because you know, I came from a very small family. There was just myself and my sister. So for me, this is all I know, right? Mm. And my father in particular has always been very, insistent that we had, responsibility over our own personal finances, right?
Oh,
so do not rely on the boyfriend, husband, whoever, and just make sure, you know, you've got your own money, which is why he didn't allow me to stay with him post-marriage and post-graduation, right? So hence why I didn't practice law. So I think that was one. And I guess coming from an environment where in finance, yes, in Malaysia, we have a lot of women, but still not enough C-suites and stuff like that. Mm. And in Nomura, I was a rare animal, right? So I guess in that sense, I saw the fact that how we struggle.
Mm.
And a lot of my girlfriends are feminists, and my co-founder, who became my co-founder, Sherry, is also a good friend. And at that point in time, she was involved with an NGO. And so she, you know, and which I'm also a member of this NGO. And then we realized that actually what was really happening on the ground didn't translate at all in the capital markets, right? So your fund managers and all that, we talk about ESG, you talk about, sustainability and impact investing. But it's still a long way off to what the real people, the rakyat, really needs. And that's precisely why we decided that, hey, it's the women. We are the ones who are worse off.
You mentioned your co-founder, Sherry.
Yes.
Now, co-founders can almost be, it's almost like a marriage, really, because you're committed to something for a very long time.
Yes.
Hopefully a long time. Talk to us about Sherry's background and how she complements you in building this business.
Yeah, so Sherry was also an ex-regulator. So that's actually very, very useful, right, to have a different perspective in that sense. And because she just completed her master's in gender studies from SOAS in the UK.
Nice.
So she actually quit her job with the NGO full-time to do this because of Wahine Capital, right? Because when I talked to her about, like, hey, this is my idea, what do you think? And then she said, hey, actually, you've got something good going, and this is not just for legacy planning, but, you know, we can widen this a lot more. So I've been very, very lucky in that sense to actually have a sounding board that, basically also holds me in place, because given her regulatory background, she also, you know, tries to ensure that I don't go completely mad and say, like, hey, we want to change the world overnight type thing, right? And I think that's part of the reason why possibly my Japanese bosses before used to lose a lot of hair because I'm like, I want to change the world. Let's do this, right? Yeah.
Oh. Now, before you, there's obviously a very clear mission here and a very powerful one. But did you explore other areas of possible ventures before focusing on what Wahine has now become?
Actually, no. Despite being a kind of person that I plan everything. I thought I planned everything. Hence the retirement plan, right? But when it came to what we wanted to do with W Vault and all that, I think the key thing was when we started talking to friends and then some focus groups that we conducted. The pain point was always like, where do I start? Yes, I can talk to my private banker, I can talk to EPF and all that, but it always boils down to where do I start? Mm. And people are just totally disorganized, right? They know that they need to do their taxes, they know they need to do their retirement planning, etc. But do they do it? No, mm-hmm. until a major life event happens. Mm-hmm. So precisely why we designed W Vault to be that kickstarter, right? And it's like, okay, we'll try and make your life as easy as possible, organize it, and hopefully that would be a kickstarter to get you going.
W Vault is the first product out of the gates for Wahine Capital. And we'll talk a little bit more about what you're trying to, what this looks like, the aims here, and what it's doing today. But before we go into a few messages, Regina, business inherently risky.
Yep.
What gave you the confidence to quit your career and embark on this venture?
Honestly, it was the NLP training because then I was thinking, hey, what am I so scared of? What's the worst that could happen? Lose a lot of money.
So that gave you the confidence to go out and it's that framing, right? This is also what you told your one of the people that worked for you who went on, Nadia, who went to find build pod, essentially.
Yeah, yes, yeah. But at least for her, she didn't have kids and husband and stuff like that at that point in time. For me, yeah, because I think as a woman, especially, you always think about your immediate family, right? What do I need to do? And, you know, my daughter's working already. And that time when I told my children, I said, okay, maybe not so many fancy holidays anymore, but this is what I think I want to do. And, you know, the kids said, well, despite the cut in allowance type thing, it was like, okay lah, if this is what you want to do, you know, well, go for it, Mom, type thing. Yeah, and my husband was the same, right? I'm not sure whether he's still happy about this decision at this moment. But hey, you got to live with it.
You did the stakeholder engagements.
Yes, totally.
You went to AGM. You got the board approval.
I checked with my parents as well. My mom, mom, who was also in business, so she was very supportive. My father thinks I'm mad. He still thinks I'm mad. Yeah.
Regina, we got more to get into, but first, a few messages. Folks, I've been speaking with Regina Rahim, the co-founder of fintech startup Wahine Capital, a company that wants to empower women through financial knowledge and collaborative platforms. I'm Roshan Gunnison. You're listening to Open for Business. We'll be back in just a bit, so don't go anywhere and keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Gunnison, and this morning I'm speaking with Regina Rahim, co-founder of fintech startup Wahine Capital, a company that wants to empower women through financial knowledge and collaborative platforms. A perfect person to speak to in the lead up to International Women's Day happening tomorrow. Now, Regina, a key line that I picked up from the website is, and I quote here, despite the surge in women's consumerism, their representation and ownership in the economy still lags. Tell us a little bit about this line and how you plan to address this through Wahine.
Yeah, so basically, you know, when we started, we had a few focus groups and, you know, talking to a lot of people from different segments of society, right? What was very, very clear is that we are a very patriarchal society. Mm. No matter how liberal you think you are and stuff like that, you actually are quite conservative in. So, you know, there's so many research that I can quote that talks about how women are at risk of losing basically 50% or more of their assets and assets from divorce, from death, from retirement, mm. as well as critical illnesses, right? So that's one. And then if you start putting the fact that in Malaysia, we on average, we outlive the men by 5 years, right?
Yeah, this is that.
And then to compound that, the divorce rates in Malaysia has also risen significantly. It's mm. been 80% rise in the last 10 years.
Wow.
That's, you know, people don't talk about that, right? Mm. So if you're going to get more single women and single women households, there's also a lot of other issues, right? So with divorce rates, so in Malaysia, if you get divorced, for you to ensure that your ex-husband actually pays for the child maintenance, you have to go back to court.
Mm.
So for a lot of women, they're like, okay, I'm not doing this. I'm, you know, just super tired. But it's only post-divorce that they realize, hey, hang on a minute. I don't actually have any money. I've never touched upon this mm. issue before with my husband, my partner, whatever. So it's all very, very new. So even professional women, right? So we're talking to some professional women and you think the higher education means that they would be a bit more literate. No.
Wow.
So which is why, you know, so coming from capital markets, so when we start talking about your returns you and all that, the questions that we ask from a personal finance point of view is not the same, right? You don't ask about questions like, How much fees are we actually paying, right? So even if you're talking yeah. about your 2%, let's say 2% on average, right? You compound that over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, that's significant. And if you start looking at the ringgit performance, Bursa's performance, there's a lot of other things that's mm-hmm. going to affect your investments, right? So which is why we came up with the retirement calculator lah.
Oh, nice.
So, but the feedback that we're getting is that, oh my God, this is very scary.
Like, it's a reality yeah. check.
Right. So, you know, my daughter goes, oh my God, Mom, why? Why do you have to do this to people? I'm like, now you know lah,
mm.
how much I had to save for the children and mm. all that, right? So women, when typically if you've got, if you're salaried, a lot of that money goes back to your family, right? I mean, I would say that about, you know, 70-80% of my salary was always for the kids' education and everything else, right? So, and that's very typical.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the key reasons why we really need to unlock that, right? So if, how do you come up with better products or get more people to do financial planning if they don't even know where they are?
Yeah.
And that's the key. So because a lot of people say, oh yeah, I've got this. But once they start typing in, they realize actually I don't,
yeah.
right?
What gets measured gets managed. I think that's a Peter Drucker quote, if I'm not mistaken. One
yes.
of my favorites, actually. And you know, I was a financial planner, and personal finance is a big part of my.
Yeah.
It's a big passion of mine. So everything you've said there is super accurate. I used to speak to clients, and people didn't know where they were. They didn't know how much they wanted for retirement.
Yeah.
And when the lofty ideas of, oh, I want to be able to spend 5,000 ringgit in today's money when I retire in 30 years' time.
Yeah.
But people were making 5,000 then.
Yeah.
So how are you going to compound
Correct.
That? Right? So
yeah.
once you start doing the calculations, people start... It's a fine balance, right? Because you don't want them to be disheartened as well. So it's a little bit of a fine balance there to get them to take that ownership
yeah.
over their lives. So your first product is WVault. It
yes.
is this online platform that has the retirement calculator as well, but a one...
So WVault is basically just a digital safe box for you to keep your information, right?
Which can be very valuable.
Yeah. So we've categorized it into 9 categories of assets and 5 categories of liabilities. So the reason
okay.
for that was because going back to the story of why when my sister passed away, I had to get her LA sorted out, right? Letter of administration from the lawyer. And the lawyer basically gave me a list, right? okay, make sure that you have all this information and all that. And that's where they're running around like, oh my God, where do I find this?
And at a time that you least want to be doing this kind of running around.
Exactly. And I couldn't pass it on to my parents because obviously they were completely distraught and all that. So that was, it came down to me. So at that point in time was when WVOT came into being, because I was thinking, oh my God, if only there was something I could click, download everything and say to the lawyer, there you go. It's all there, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the basic premise. And then when I started talking to financial planners and all that, they all go, actually, this is exactly the kind of information that we need,
yeah.
right? The basics.
It's a product for a solution that actually a lot of people need. Because
yeah.
especially if just jumping on what you were saying earlier, like if generally women are not getting involved in the finances part of things, you may not know what the liability situation is like,
correct.
Where the assets
exactly.
are. And if something happens to the so-called breadwinner, you're going to need to know that information.
Precisely why we have the trigger events as well, because then I realized, hang on a minute, even if I got everything organized, being the organized person, I've got this Excel spreadsheet that I would update all the time, and I would email it to my husband and my daughter. But, you know, when I ask them, I'm like, you know, where do you keep it? And they go like, you emailed me? So you know, in a case of emergency, that's not going to hack it, right?
Yeah.
So you need something that where in the case of emergency, so which is why it's not just death, but, you know, you could be in an accident or whatever, all this information is able to be accessed by your loved ones, which is why we've got the trigger events mm-hmm. and we've also got a separate notifier and access list.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the main function of WVOT right now.
Correct.
I read somewhere that there's also, you can engage or speak to experts that you can consult.
Yep.
Is that part of the product?
Yeah, because
well?
It's always good to have a sounding board, right? And
yes.
sometimes you don't want to be having a sounding board with your best friend or whatever, because everyone seems to be an expert, right? So which is why then, you know, on the other side of why we created this expert list was also the fact that I wanted to also highlight that there's a lot of experts in Malaysia mm-hmm. And obviously around that can do so much and wants to help other women, but they've never had that platform, right?
Mm.
Yeah. So hopefully that in itself can create and actually spur more women to say, like, actually, we want to also help out when, you know, if we can.
Wonderful. And it's not just financial help, right?
So we've categorized it in three different bits: money and me, relationship and me, as well as career and me.
All essential.
Yeah.
All interconnected, really.
Yes, actually. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about where WVOT is in terms of users and maybe a little bit about the demographics.
So when we first came out with WVOT, we were targeting 45 and above, thinking that sandwich generation, I've got kids, I've got aging parents and all that. So, and that came out of our focus groups, right? So our messaging was like that. And then we realized when we were brave enough to get that out in the market, right? Because and not just playing it around with just a few of us, it was obvious that the user base was actually a lot younger. So, and there are a lot more
wow.
men as well who are going like, actually, I got to sort this out because if anything happens to me, my wife and kids.
It's a useful product.
Correct, yeah. So that's what happened. So that's the main learning point that the younger ones. So which is why we're also trying to figure out whether we should be coming out with other things that pertains to the younger crowd as well. So in terms of the growth rate that we're seeing, you know, I guess coming from the capital markets, I'm rather impatient. Sherry always tells me like maybe calm down a bit. So the growth rate is not as fantastic that I would like it to be, which is why we're trying to get corporate partners because your B2C is, I'm sure you know, it's not easy.
It's tough.
Yeah. So which is why we're onboarding. I'm very proud of the fact that we've managed to get Kenanga Investors coming in, Tim Protect as well. And then a few other corporate partners, major names from the fund management side, financial planning outfits, as well as insurance, you know, simply to make it a lot easier for people to choose. Because I mean, that's the next iteration. Like also, how do we get people to choose? Yeah,
Regina, we'll talk a little bit more about that growth and partnerships and as well as where Wahine is headed in the longer term. Folks, I've been speaking with Regina Rahim. She's the co-founder of fintech startup Wahine Capital. And you've been listening to Open for Business. We're going into the news bulletin right now. And then we'll be back for more here on Open for Business. So keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Big Friendly Matcha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kanasan, and this morning I'm speaking with Regina Rahim, the co-founder of fintech startup Wahine Capital, a company that wants to empower women through financial knowledge and collaborative platforms. Regina, we've gotten a sense for the origin story here, why you left after almost three decades in corporate and capital markets life and decided to take a stab at the entrepreneurial journey, the ever volatile entrepreneurial journey. I want to look ahead, talk a little bit about where you're going to grow, what else is going to happen going forward. From what, as far as I can tell online, the only funding you've raised so far, this is as per Crunchbase, so feel free to correct me, of course, Wahine has raised a pre-seed round from Leap Ventures, or 1337 Ventures. That was for an undisclosed amount. Is that the extent of the funding raised so far?
No, we've been very, very lucky. We've had a lot of good friends who believe in the mission, basically, right? So I think, you know, with my track record before, as well as the mission, you know, we had a couple of friendly parties who came in as...
So, angels?
Pretty much, lah. Yeah, very, in the sense, really, angels.
So, angels who've come in individually, or did they go through a crowdfunding platform to...
Individually, yeah. I didn't want to have it open to too many people at this stage, because we thought, you know, it's like, okay, let's see how far we can do with our own money as well, yeah.
What have the funds been used for so far over the last 2 years?
Pretty much in regards to building the product, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the key areas that we're trying to do is really how do we connect that information that you have within WVault. So we've got a dashboard to make it a lot easier for people to understand where they are. And now with the retirement calculator as well, we're trying to basically link that together, right? So that, okay, how do you actually start planning in an easy way? Of course, you have the ability to start talking to the financial planners who are our partners, but some people, sometimes they just want to see, okay, how far can they go and, you know, whatnot before they start talking to an external party. So that's one area of what we're trying to do. And then also, you know, basically in a way, a scoring system. So if people can understand, okay, this is where I'm at in March 2024, where do I want to be in a year's time, right? Mm. Because I think without that being, you know, put on, I think then people will just say, it's just a vault, who cares, right? And you forget about it, right? And I mean, that's the problem with things like a lot of the other, you know, whether it's like your Excel spreadsheets or whatever, right? Yeah.
Actionable, right? You can have the information, but how do you partner with the right platforms or people in order to help people take actions for their futures?
Yeah. So, I mean, and the kind of partners that we're looking for are also ones who believe in our mission. So I don't want to be a platform where everybody's there, but at the end of the day, there's no thought behind it, or I don't want our users to think, oh, great, she came from the capital market, so she's just going to be pushing products to us. I don't want that because I think, you know, there are other players who can do that. You know, at the end of the day, the key thing here is our mission is to help people, right? So that to me is very, very different. So it's not, so the social impact has to be there. So not so much the bottom line completely.
Investors, your angels, and of course, Elite Ventures, capital is only one part of the benefit of having such early investors in your journey. Talk to us a little bit about the non monetary value that they bring to the table?
So for instance, I've had, I've got some of my investors not based here. They're based in the US. And I've got people in Hong Kong as well who are in, in banking, in asset management, and also in tech, right? So it's good for us to they look at the product, they'll give me feedback and say, why are you going this way? Why are you doing it this way? Why is that button there? And then, of course, with Lead Ventures, we have a weekly call. And so they also mentor us as to what's going on and, this is how we should be looking at things. And so different perspectives, right? Because I think that's where your corporate businesses don't get that same sort of scrutiny. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's bad, right? Because then you live in this bubble thinking, hey, I'm so good. What are you talking about, right? Yeah. So even if it's not, even for PLCs, when they're so big, you don't actually have that sort of rigor in terms of, when you do your product development, right? You actually have real people telling you, actually, Regina, you're not that great.
More straightforward, right? More open to kind of telling. Because I guess it helps that they believe in the mission, right? So there's a bit of ownership over like, hey, we want to see this do well as well. So you've got one product out, WVault. Where do you think you are in your product market fit journey?
And I think that's the best thing about starting with the Vault, right? There's so many things that we can be doing. I think one of the key things that we're also looking at is like, do we want to move into other segments and actually get a license, right? And see, do we want to do real advisory work and build on that? So the possibilities is endless, we think. Which is precisely, why, we've always said we want to make sure that it addresses the life cycle of a woman. So we started off with just basic information on the financial bits, but the next focus, at least for 2024, will be in regards to divorce and the impact it has on money.
Interesting.
Yes. So we're actually coming up with a conference on April 19th on divorce and money, because most people always think that when you talk about divorce, it's always going to be in regards to the legal aspects and the emotional aspects. So we have got lawyers, we have got financial planners, as well as the mental experts speaking at this conference, because we wanted people to realize that it always boils down to money. At the end of the day,
it's interconnected.
No matter, the emotions that you're going through, divorce and all that, is actually can be a lot better if that money conversation is done a lot earlier, right?
Regina, before a few more messages, what has been the biggest challenge so far in building Wahine Capital?
I think it was a mindset shift, right?
Okay.
That paradigm shift of realizing that, it's not as, plug and play, I think, is the key thing here, right? So with Nomura, it was for plug and play, build a business, hunky-dory, everything's great, bonus at the end of the year, woohoo! This is like, find the wires, find the plug, build that plug, find a wall that I could actually put this plug into. So it's painful in that sense. And not having people to delegate it to. So I think my team right now, Sherry always says, she's very good at delegating.
Hey, it's a really useful skill when you're building a business. You don't want it all to come down to you and you be the bottleneck of growth, right?
Yes.
And speaking of growth, Regina, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Folks, I've been speaking with Regina Rahim. She's the co-founder of fintech startup Wahine Capital, a company that wants to empower women through financial knowledge and collaborative platforms. I'm Roshan Kandesent. You're listening to Open for Business. We'll be back in just a bit, so keep it here to Open for Business on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Gunnison, and this morning I've been speaking with Regina Rahim, co-founder of fintech startup Wahine Capital, a company that wants to empower women through financial knowledge and collaborative platforms. Regina, very clearly in this conversation, you've got this mission, as I mentioned earlier, that mission to empower women financially, or financial empowerment in that sense, and you've got that social mission. It means something to you, but ultimately this is a business. So let's talk a little bit about the business model underlying here. What's the revenue generation strategy here?
Yeah, so, you know, thankfully coming from the capital markets, I realized I can't just have like one one price fits all type thing, right? So really we're trying to do a modular type of business model, right? So subscription at the very basic, and then as we do more value add. But the key here is value add, right? Mm. So if people don't see the value in what they're paying for, they're not just going to subscribe and spread the word, right? So which is why we're doing the network of experts. We have that we have the retirement calculator coming in, and really, you know, trying to use other tools using AI and all that to really build on that, so that information and that data that you know about yourself can be used in a great way for you to actually start doing more things. So, of course, with the partnerships, there is revenue sharing. Mm-hmm. So, I won't lie about that. You know, we got to make money.
Yeah.
So precisely why, as well, we're very choosy about our partners as to why we onboard them. So we've got a will writer as well. So really it's a matter of like, how do we do this apart from just the subscription revenue sharing, and really have a product that people say that's worth it, right? Mm. So if you start comparing the financial planning fees, most Malaysians can't afford it.
Nope.
Right. Sorry. But that's the reality.
Starting at $3,000 a year for a financial plan for most firms.
Yeah, and that's just a start, right? So even if you go down, you know, I've seen $2,000, which
still.
Yeah. But you know, you've got a pension crisis coming. Mm. A lot of people are not being paid any decent money at all, right? So how do you do that? So which is why by getting themselves organized with WVault, we're hoping that people see that, hey, for less than 20 ringgit a month, really, you know, for the cost of a very expensive coffee, basically, right? you could get yourself sorted out. Yeah. So you know, I guess our user base shows that it's a younger crowd that's taking the lead here, right? But I really want to be working with the likes of EPF even, because they already have those retirement advisors,
services,
right?
Yeah.
And just say like, hey, this would actually be very, very, very useful for them to start having that conversation post that session at EPF, right? Because at least you can monitor yourself.
Do you see yourself using WVault as the main, not attack vehicle, the main vehicle for other products and services going forward? Or do you see separate brands coming out as you do different things?
Yeah, so what we're also looking at is, so apart from just the WVault, so that's the main basic product.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as we move on, there might be other iterations of W something. Because at the end of the day, the key here is the entire life cycle, right? So one of the other pet peeves that I had when I was in capital markets was that no one really talked about aging in the right way, right? Mm. So if you start looking at our numbers, we are an aging society. So by 2030, it's aged. Then it's like super aging by 2050, right?
I've spoken to enough senior living facilities.
Exactly. So, but the thing is, the reality is, to me, from looking at EPF numbers and having managed, EPF funds as an external fund manager before, things are really going to blow up, right? Mm, mm. So how do we take that? How do we fix that? So which is why it's got to be that life cycle. So other conversations, and it's related, but that people don't have is about advanced care planning. So that also includes in terms of your medical insurance, about your how you want to live your end of life, right? So for instance, when my sister passed away, the last few months, Kasih Hospice was amazing. And that was something that, not many people are subscribed to, right? And you think that, you know, they need to have your loved ones in hospitals to the very end, which is actually makes the person very, very miserable. So I don't want that. And that's another area that I think is something that W can actually evolve into. So because I want to have a advanced care planning facility embedded into W4 as well.
Yeah, definitely. So you're looking at product-specific or purpose-driven products here. So WVault is for this. You'll have some other Ws later on for different purposes. So you've got a user base growing up. You're using the primarily a subscription service right now, but you've also got revenue share from partners and possibly value modular add-ons, I presume.
Yeah. So for instance, the network of experts, your first 10 minutes is free. But if you decide that you want
a little bit.
Yeah. And then so if you want to start talking to the ladies a bit more and need more help, then of course there will
really
be a
nice
charge. But at least, you know, you can start figure out actually it's a lot cheaper than talking to a financial planner.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about where you are in terms of revenue and growth so far.
So revenue and growth. So basically, we've only just started, charging people at the end of last year.
Okay, so it's been like 3-4 months now.
Yeah, so it's just been a very, very short time. So I would love to say, hey, we're making 7 digits already, but no, that's not it yet. Unfortunately, I can't share the numbers with you.
What in terms of month-on-month growth, has it been optimistic?
Yes, it is. It is. And we realize that there's a real connection between our social media postings as well as where we're seeing the numbers, right? So so we're looking at about 20,000 odd visitors coming in. So we realize that it is important for us to have a very active social media presence. So our engagement rate is, for LinkedIn is about 15%. For the last month, it was actually 17%, which I'm very, very proud of. And similarly, on Instagram, is also quite high. Yeah.
Looking ahead, given your background, I'm sure there are models in terms of where you want to be by the end of the year based on certain parameters. Any sense of what you want to hit by the end of the year in terms of goals?
So we're hoping that definitely by the middle of the year, we should have onboarded a lot of our partners. So we're hoping that in that sense, we should be, having at least 200% growth by the end of the year type of thing. Yeah. So
all right.
Very, very ambitious numbers internally. But it's if you don't aim for the sky, clearly you're not going to get very far.
And I know there is a very large focus here on women empowerment, but it sounds like a product I'd use, WVault, in terms of being able to consolidate all the different documents together so that, me and my wife know where everything is.
Yes.
Are you going to be... I know the marketing may be more focused on women, but you have male customers.
Yeah, we've got
as well,
male
right?
users. So the feedback has always been like, we were doing it because... I need to worry about my wife, my kids, my daughters, my sisters, and that's exactly what we wanted them to feel like, right? So the reason why we're focusing on women is we're hoping that the woman will have that conversation, because honestly, it was only when I built this, I had that conversation with my husband.
You're building a platform here.
Yes.
And multiple brands possibly in the longer term. Give us a sense of how else you think you can use, you can build this platform and leverage it in terms of monetization in the longer term.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
How else are you going to be able to generate revenue from the platform that you're building in the longer term?
Okay, in the longer term, obviously the modular bits and stuff like that. So you know, I have not gone beyond the 3 years planning yet,
okay,
because obviously we're still tweaking lots of things, and you know, it's all very fluid at the moment. So yeah, so it would definitely be trying to figure out the feedback that we're getting before we can figure out how else are we going to be increasing our revenue base.
And I know growth is going to be a big part of your story going forward, but you know, given the current climate in terms of funding temperament, there must always be a pulse in terms of the pathway, the profitability, it seems like.
Yes,
talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, you know, initially, obviously, when it was just an idea on paper, I was saying, 3 years, within 3 years, we're going to make money, right? Okay, that's not happening. at least for after the first year of it going public. So we're looking at 5 years, lah. Yeah, so I think that's fair, because I think by the time we onboard the partners and all that, and then really pushing it to be a centralized solution of data, right? Mm. Because that's something that we're trying to push to our corporate partners, because for a lot of them, they're going to say like, hey, yeah, I've got my own data. Why should I care about your data? But what I'm saying is that, so let's say if you're a bank, how many apps have you got on your phone with different banks, different insurance, et cetera, right? But here is a solution whereby your clients can actually have everything in one place, right? And that's that visibility, as long as your client allows it, would actually be very useful for you to actually create better products going forward. So it's not just for the users, but also for our partners, for them to have better visibility on what sort of trends and in terms of both on the asset side as well as liability side, right? Yeah.
With the minute we have left, Regina, talk to us a little bit about whether you're still in fundraising mode, or are you looking to raise funds to take this to the next level? Or how much are you looking to raise funds?
Not immediately. So we're quite good, but I am checking the temperature out with VCs. So making sure that people know who I am and what the business is all about, because I think that's important. Yeah.
And to wrap up, talk to us a little bit about possible exits in terms of where this company could go.
Well, the company can go everywhere, right? And I've been in touch with a lot of people within the region, and they love the product and all that. So definitely, we've got big plans. But in terms of exit, I don't think myself and Sherry are looking to exit, because, like I shared with you earlier, it's my retirement plan, exactly, till the end of my days, yeah.
Regina, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Good luck
Likewise.
Ahead, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Folks, I've been speaking with Regina Rahim, co-founder of fintech startup Wahine Capital, a company that wants to empower women through financial knowledge and collaborative platforms. And you've been listening to Open for Business, the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the full conversation over on the BFM app or wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or other podcast players. Just look for Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kennison. Keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Are you open for business? Register your company with BossBelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.